This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It was an apparent mistake in a court filing that's revealed federal prosecutors have filed charges against WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. His name coming up in a case that has nothing to do with the release of thousands of classified documents in 2010. It's also not related to the special counsel's investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. Reports are the U.S. is preparing, though, to prosecute Assange and is confident of getting him to stand trial. The death toll from the Camp Fire in Northern California is now up to 63. The list of people missing in the vicinity has soared to over 630. This man lost everything and is staying at a shelter, but says,
the generosity and the love that I've seen come forth, it's overbearing. It really is.
This is USA Radio News.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing, he had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife Jenny was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM.
Forecasters say a winter-like storm that's struck the Midwest all the way to the Northeast in New England overperformed their expectations. At least seven people now listed as dead from the storm. The storm has moved slowly across the Midwest, then into the Appalachians and into the East Coast as well, closing schools, snarling air travel, stopping traffic, and knocking out power to hundreds of thousands of people. The National Weather Service still has winter storm warnings up from North Carolina all the way up to northern Maine. The U.S. Navy charging two SEAL team members and two Marines with the murder of an Army Green Beret. Retired Army Brigadier General Donald Bolduc, though, says the crime isn't an accurate portrayal of the Navy SEALs in general.
This type of behavior is unacceptable. The larger special operation forces should not be judged by the actions of a few.
The charges brought against the four for the 2017 death of that Green Beret, and this is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
Federal hate crime and gun charges are filed against a white man accused of killing two black people at a Kroger supermarket in Kentucky last month. A grand jury indicting Gregory Bush on six counts yesterday. U.S. Attorney Russell Coleman spoke to reporters in Louisville saying, there's no place for hate-fueled violence anywhere, especially in Kentucky.
Federal, state, and local law enforcement in this city and in this commonwealth stand united against the premise of this specter, this shadow that's hung over Kentuckians.
Bush is also facing state charges in that case. The Trump administration is looking at the rising problem of sexual misconduct by airline passengers. Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao announcing the creation of a national in-flight sexual misconduct task force. The FBI saying last summer the number of sexual assaults reported on commercial airline flights was increasing at what it called an alarming rate. And John Lennon's killers finally admitting that he feels regret over murdering the Beatles legend. Mark David Chapman recently telling a parole board that 30 years ago he felt no shame, but now he says he knows what shame is. Chapman shot and killed Lennon outside Lennon's New York City apartment building in 1980. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you? Bill Martinez live.
Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. A real special time we have right now. Whenever we can talk with Dinesh D'Souza, it is special. It is for me. I guess because I just so respect where he's coming from. Being an immigrant to this country, looking at it and seeing the light of liberty shining forth from his homeland, he says, gosh, that's where I want to be. That's where I think dreams are made of, is in the country of America. And he comes here, and as an immigrant with this background and experience having grown up in India, he sees where America is starting to let go of its precious values that keep that bright light of freedom shining. And he's been a voice, maybe at times probably feels like a voice in the desert, crying out to the people saying, wait a minute, you guys are missing the mark here. What we're going to talk about is his movie, which is now on DVD, Death of a Nation. Deathofanationmovie.com is where you can go for more information. A movie that did well, all things considered, in the box office. And I say all things considered because, you know, in this environment today, anything conservative. In fact, Dinesh, I will tell you that I posted a tweet. I retweeted something that you had sent out, and my Facebook was closed down. So if I'm going to be met with resistance, certainly the kind of resistance you've been met with and you're used to these days is quite extraordinary.
My gosh, yeah. There's a chill wind of intolerance out there. I see it in the campus now, where at a recent talk I gave in Michigan State, a student stands up and starts screaming the F word at the top of his lungs, just drowning out what I was saying, and the whole audience is yelling at him to stop, but he continues for about 5 minutes before being dragged out by security. So this kind of effort to shut people down, not hear them out, it's a long way from the atmosphere of civility and debate that we would hope we could expect, particularly on a university campus.
Exactly. Well, to your point, last week I was able to see your presentation at American University, and I thought the way you predicated the whole situation was so right on. You used the example, you said, it's kind of like growing up being told these are your parents. And then as a young adult, you're told these aren't your parents. And in a sense, you've kind of been living a lie, you know, throughout your life. It's quite a shock to the psyche, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of what I'm trying to communicate to these young people is that when you're an immigrant and you've grown up in a different culture, you come to America, in a sense, asking different questions than the left asks now. The left will say things like, where's the social justice in America? How come that guy earns more than I do? And the question that the immigrant asks is a little different question, which is that, how do you take a country like America, which was, you know, in the year 1800, America was actually one of the poorest countries in the world. Most people had to farm 12 hours a day just to make ends meet. very short time went to being the richest country in the world, which it has now been for over 100 years. Now, how does a country go from being poor to being rich? How does a country create opportunity, not just for the rich guy, but for the ordinary guy? You know, what's the secret to making the rest of the world still hasn't figured that one out? So these kinds of questions young people haven't even thought about. And so when you say these things to them, it literally is discombobulating because it goes against the propaganda that is drummed into their heads and has been drummed into their heads really since elementary school.
Well, in Death of a Nation, you pointed out these incongruities and the rewrite of American history. Of course, you did, again, I thought, quite brilliantly on the campus there. I mean, you're talking to, you know, supposed intellectuals, or at least wannabe intellectuals. They're there in academia to enjoy the privilege of study and education and learning. What a grand opportunity. But if you shut your capacity to learn down because of ideology, you really kind of short-circuited the opportunity, have you not?
Well, a lot of these young people don't know what they, quote, know to be true is the product of an ideology. Because, of course, that ideology doesn't wear its name on its sleeve. And so, for example, much of what we study as, quote, history is, in fact, progressive history. Because progressives came to power in America in academia and the media and Hollywood starting in the 50s and 60s, and they were completely dominant by the 80s and 90s. So they write the history books. They decide what goes on the History Channel. They write the entries in Wikipedia. And so when young people go, oh, I saw this in Barnes & Noble, and there it was on the History Channel and on NPR, yeah, therefore it's true, they don't realize, wait a minute, it's the same type of people with the same sorts of biases that have spun this narrative that you take to be true. And all these various sources aren't corroborating each other. They're echoing the same angle of vision in the first place.
Exactly. Well, in my studies, Dinesh, it goes back for me when I was looking at it to the early 20th century. Progressives made a concerted effort to take over academia. It was a process, and they took over public education. And meanwhile, it just ran away with itself because, as you said, especially in that period of time, you know, early America was very busy. They're trying to survive. They're working their butts off. And they didn't have time to really keep an eye on what was going on. They just thought, you know, for the most part, that everything that had to do with America was going to be looking out for the best interests of America. But meanwhile, there was this, you know, this ideology that was forming and taking root. And it was very calculated, was it not?
Well, this is a very serious political problem today, which is that the entrepreneurial class is preoccupied with business, with the machinery of the company, you may say, work, and pays almost no attention to the infrastructure of technological capitalism that is needed to enable your company or your entrepreneurial venture to succeed. And so the left is very busy undermining that infrastructure. And yet the people who have the greatest stake in defending it are inattentive to it. It's almost like you moved out west with your family in a covered wagon, and there are outlaws now that want to, you know, want to come in and take your property and rape your wife and steal your kids. But you don't realize it's really important to invest in some fences and some gunslingers to protect your land because there are bad guys out there. That's going culture, but the people who need to defend are not doing it.
Well, if we're not aware, as it has been said many times, of history, then you're doomed to repeat it. But it seems that what's being repeated here in America is maybe what has been repeated elsewhere. We're bringing, you know, we're bringing Europe, the like the ills of Europe, you know, and maybe some of the, you know, the experiences that you had as a child growing up, it's like we're bringing that into America. And I guess that's really tough for you to see because you're seeing all the warning signals and you're trying to get people's attention to say, can't you see it? And for some reason, there seems to be a mind block on it.
Well, I come from a country, as most countries are, where there's a lot of gangsterism in politics. You know, if you're a political opponent, they try to go after you. They audit your taxes. They try to get your bank statements. They try to lock you up so you can't pose significant opposition. first came to America, I was actually struck by the cleanliness of American politics. I was never naive about it, but I thought fundamentally American politics is clean. The two different sides regard each other as opponents. They don't regard each other as political enemies, and it would no more dream, like Jimmy, no more locking me up than say, you know, Ronald Reagan would want to lock up Michael Moore. It's just these thoughts wouldn't even enter their heads.
Exactly. We've got to go to break. We've got more from Dinesh D'Souza after this. Stay with us.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars.
To join the American Cannabis Summit, visit acs2018.com or text JOIN to 76280. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280 now.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-318-1251. That's 800-318-1251. 800-318-1251.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
Bill Martinez, live.
Mark, our conversation with best-selling author Dinesh D'Souza continues. Dinesh, you and Gerald Mullen teamed up again. Gerald, of course, the Academy Award-winning producer, to give us Death of a Nation that is now available on DVD just in time for the holiday season. And the thing about the truth is that it always is there, and it's eager to be exposed. And maybe now we'll have a better opportunity to be exposed to your movie. Other members of families that missed out and seeing it on the big screen will now have a chance to enjoy it at home. And it could be a perfect stocking stuffer, as they say, for the season. Death of a Nation, why did you feel compelled that you needed to do this movie?
Well, ever since Trump's election, the two issues of racism and fascism have been swirling around and, in fact, have been drowning out legitimate policy debate. So the left says Trump and the conservatives, they're the party of fascism, they're the party of racism. And this movie asks the question, really? Let's look at it not just historically, but let's look at it today. Where is the real racism in America today? Who are the people today who are doing fascist-style tactics? Who are the people who are shouting down speech, people, trying to get people fired from their jobs? Who are the people who are using the state against political opponents? Who are the people who are trying to colonize private business and put it under the test of the state? Because this is the actual definition of fascism. State control over the private economy and state control over the lives of citizens. So who's actually doing that in America? Is that coming from the right or the left? So, yeah, very proud of the movie. More people these days prefer to watch at home. The movie is available not only on digital streaming, you know, through iTunes or Amazon, but it's also available in physical DVD from Redbox or Walmart or wherever.
Well, it seems, as you say, because of the, you know, public shaming and the bullying that's been taking place in the political square, in the market, public square today, that some things like this, I mean, and this is what we have to be careful about, is that, you know, things of value and morality and of quality of life are starting to be pushed underground, which is what happens in these third world countries when fascists take over, does it not?
Well, the essence of all this, I think, the real change that I've seen in my own lifetime, I'm a product of the Reagan years, the 80s, is the creeping lawlessness. And not only the creeping lawlessness, but the embrace of that lawlessness by a major political party. So in the past, for example, Democrats might realize, gee, if we can get some illegals to vote, it's going to help us. But the Democratic Party wouldn't dare to openly praise law-breaking or climbing over, coming in a caravan and just storming the gate. But now they do. Similarly, the idea, for example, of counting invalid votes, votes that don't conform to law. The Democrats would never dream of openly saying, well, yeah, if somebody didn't fill out the ballot or they turned in the ballot 3 days late, or we'll send the ballot for you. I mean, this kind of corruption occurred, but the idea that it would be publicly defended, that lawyers would ask judges to okay such ballots, that's kind of unprecedented. For shouting down a speaker. The Democrats were, in fact, with the idea that they would say that you can drown out speakers or threaten people who don't agree with you. We have to, quote, confront our opponents at restaurants and hound them out. This kind of thuggery, I think, is now becoming, unfortunately, an element of American politics, and it's a depressing turn for the worse.
And, of course, the mainstream media has not been doing their job. They've been MIA here, Dinesh, on all these issues because of their vitriol and their view towards Donald Trump. I mean, they can't disengage from that. They're just so irritated and angry over Donald Trump that they cannot see how they're needed in the marketplace. I've maintained the reason that they've continued to lose subscription and lose audience in that is because they have abandoned their main reason to exist, which is to document history. And they're doing it very poorly these days.
Well, they're a propaganda wing of the political left. I mean, Trump calls enemies of the people, but I think it's probably more accurate to say they're enemies of the truth. They're enemies of any modicum of political balance. The same people who were complete groveling sycophants to Obama hypocritical toward Trump. And yet they, you know, it's one thing to be that way, at least admit it. Say, okay, fine, you know, I loved Obama, I cover up crimes that the guy committed, whereas with Trump, I'm trying to get him on anything, at least admit it. But no, these guys like Jim Acosta pretend, oh, no, we're just doing our jobs, we're just being neutral, we're not on any side, don't say we belong to a side. This flagrant hypocrisy is a little hard to take.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is, the hypocrisy is so passionate on their side. They can't see it, Dinesh, and I think that's what you were telling the students at American University. They're so blind to their own hypocrisy that, you know, if you hear it enough, you begin to think, okay, what's wrong with me? Why am I seeing it this way? Am I a conspiracy agent here? Or am I disengaged from the truth myself? Because I found myself on several occasions here in the recent years going, wait a minute, before I get carried away here, let me make sure I am seeing this correctly.
Yeah, and I think that as a writer and as a filmmaker, I have to do this all the time. When I'm researching facts, FDR praising Mussolini, and I go, wow, I never heard that before. And then I see Mussolini praising FDR, and I'm like, wow, they didn't teach me that at Dartmouth. And then I find the Nazi newspapers are praising the New Deal and praising FDR, quote, because he is a fascist. And I go, wow, I've never even seen this in the History Channel or anywhere. So am I getting this wrong? Am I missing something? Is this like I've got to check out the credibility of the sources that I'm seeing this? And then I realize that they are credible. It's the progressives have swept this information under the carpet. They don't put it in the history books. And so there's a certain kind of self-questioning that is part of learning and maturity. And a lot of that is unfortunately not going on in our public debate today.
Well, we're so divided. You know, if you want to say 50-50, whatever number you want to use, I guess you could be right either way. But nonetheless, I mean, we are a divided nation. And, you know, after this recent midterm election, we're socialist and, you know, Muslims. I don't know how they're going to take the oath of office. I mean, do they take the oath of office? I think in some cases they've taken it with in the presence of the Quran, which is in direct conflict to the Christian values that we hold to. So that seems, you know, quite a contradiction in and of itself.
Yeah, I know that there are lots of Republicans who are sort of pining for a more civil debate. I do too. I mean, I would like to see a return to civility. But I'm afraid that we're in a little bit of a Lincoln moment where Lincoln realized the way to unify the country was not actually to meet the bad guys, quote, halfway, but rather to stiffen the spine of the Republican Party, not to put up with lawlessness, not to tolerate the kind of brutality that has become politics, but ultimately to stop it ideally through sensible laws, well enforced, but to stop it nevertheless.
In a recent commentary to that point, Dinesh, I had said that we can be thankful for Donald Trump because he's helping some conservatives rediscover their spine, to your point.
No question about it. And the proof of this was in the Kavanaugh hearings. It wasn't just from people like Ted Cruz, but look at Lindsey Graham. Look at Susan Collins. Yes. These are people who normally were sort of on the wavering side and yet came out guns blazing because, in a sense, it wasn't just because of Trump. It was also because they saw the kind of attempted political assassination that was going on in front of their eyes. And at some point, decent people have to say enough.
You got to call it for what it is. Dinesh D'Souza has been our guest. His DVD, Death of a Nation, now available all the usual places. It'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Dinesh, as always, great to have you with us. Congratulations. Keep up the great work. And whatever we can do to come alongside and support your efforts, know that we're there with you, okay?
Thank you very much.
At Robert Half, we know finding the right employees is a job in itself, and it's a job we love. You see, Robert Half isn't just a staffing firm. We're people. People who believe in finding the right people to fit your company's needs. Because employees who are a good fit are more productive, more engaged. Finding a great candidate isn't easy. But at Robert Half, we know it's possible. Robert Half, the experts in accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, and administrative staffing. Learn more at roberthalf.com/radio.
With a recession ending,
if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It was an apparent mistake in a court filing that's revealed federal prosecutors have filed charges against WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. His name coming up in a case that has nothing to do with the release of thousands of classified documents in 2010. It's also not related to the special counsel's investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. Reports are the U.S. is preparing, though, to prosecute Assange and is confident of getting him to stand trial. The death toll from the Camp Fire in Northern California is now up to 63. The list of people missing in the vicinity has soared to over 630. This man lost everything and is staying at a shelter, but says,
the generosity and the love that I've seen come forth, it's overbearing. It really is.
This is USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
From Maine to Oregon and SoCal to Florida, Bill Martinez live. Bill Martinez live.
With the American Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, enjoying a part of your day. And on this show, for more information, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Have you ever been around someone who's constantly coughing and sneezing and all you want to do is move? Because the last thing you want is to get sick, right? Well, when it comes to the flu, the problem may be bigger than just taking a sick day. In fact, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC as you may know it, reported that there were 80,000 deaths from the flu last year alone, making it more important than ever to stop spreading the flu in our communities. Now, it should be of no surprise that the office is one of the top places where you're likely to catch the flu. According to the CDC, the flu results in an annual economic burden of more than $87 billion in the U.S. And, of course, no one wants to be around sick coworkers, so both employees and employers should understand the importance of spending the day at home when they're ill. So here to talk more about this is Dr. Jennifer Cottle, nationally recognized renowned health expert, and she's offering her suggestions to help you steer clear of catching or spreading any kind of infection during this flu season. Dr. Cottle, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, good to have you here talking about the flu. I mean, it happens every year. We come into the flu season, and, boy, you know, people are coughing. They're dealing with it. They come to work, all this. And, you watch the body language. I mean, everybody reflects they just want nothing to do with this, right?
Right. That is very true. I think you've painted a very realistic and common picture, right, that we're always sort of nervous about that person that might be around us who's sick because we don't want to get sick. You're right.
So, you know, as I was enlightening everybody in terms of the cost, and of course, individually, you know, nobody wants to get the flu, but, you know, we look at it economically and the impact that it has. It's pretty crazy when you talk, you know, we're talking billions of dollars that it has. But beyond that, why is it so important for our communities that we, let's start off and we'll start with the first line of protection, and that's get a flu shot.
Right, and you know, honestly, I couldn't have said it better, Bill. I think you're doing a really great job of talking about the impact of getting the flu. It's not only economic, it not only has to do with our workplace and productivity, but it's also our own personal communities. And you're right that getting the flu shot is probably the best thing that we can do to prevent getting the flu. So I always say prevention really is key. It's one of the best things that we can do. But you know, you have talked about the workplace, and I also think that there are other prevention items that are important. You know, enough can't be said for washing our hands or using hand sanitizer. I often suggest that people actually wipe down their computer surfaces, their desk surfaces, maybe even doorknobs if they need to. And I often say to folks who are working, especially if they're not feeling so well or feeling under the weather, just stay home and rest up, and also stay home to prevent other people from getting sick, which is kind of what you were talking about in the beginning of the segment. You don't want to be coughing and sneezing over other people.
Exactly. I got to tell you, when I was in an office of, you know, about 100 people, all it does is take one, and it goes through the building like you just cannot believe. And so one of the things that I would do when there was an outbreak, I started handing out the wipes to everybody. Here, wipe everything down, your phones, your desktops, everything. And the other deal is we raised a culture in that business community that it's okay to be homesick. That's why you have sick days. And, you know, and because there's some businesses and some, you know, places of work that I don't understand why they want their people to come to work sick.
Right. Well, I do think that sometimes there can be this pressure to feel like you need to go to work or go to school even when you're not feeling well. But, you know, before I get to that, I love the idea that you were handing out, you know, sanitizer and things like that. We know that flu viruses, along with other viruses, are highly contagious, right? These viruses live on surfaces that we touch every day, doorknobs, tables, desks, computer keyboards, et cetera. So really washing our hands, being diligent is very important. So I love the fact that you would do that. And I also like your points about, you know, kind of changing this culture of needing to feel like we need to go to school or work, or maybe pressure that we might get from others that we work with. It's really time to allow people, and all of us rather, that if we're sick, to stay home. And I often say this too, you know, this is also where flu shot prevention is really important. You know, the flu shot and prevention, staying home when we're sick, is not just about protecting ourselves. It's about protecting other people who might not be able to protect themselves. Think about the little infants who are just born who are not old enough to get a flu shot. Think about maybe patients who have a weakened immune system who couldn't fight off disease very well, or those who are elderly or other conditions. You know, not only is staying home and being proactive helping us, it's helping other people. And that's the same reason why we also need to get the flu shot.
Yeah, exactly. It's up to us to be proactive. And, you know, nowadays, Dr. Cottle, I mean, every place I go, I mean, drugstores in every neighborhood, I mean, they're all, you know, with their signs up, get your flu shot here.
Right.
It's much easier than, you know, than years before to get a flu shot these days.
It is. And I love that. You know, I'm a family physician. I get flu shots every day, all day these days, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my patients sometimes ask, hey, do I have to come into your office to get it? And I say, no. You can go to many of the local pharmacies in our communities offer flu shots. You know, one example is Rite Aid. For example, they have certified immunizing pharmacists. You can go in at many times of the day, evenings, weekends, and oftentimes the flu shot is covered by most insurances. So, you know, flu shots and getting them has been made more convenient than it ever was before. And I think that's a really good thing, because what I don't want as a physician is I don't want there to be any barriers to getting flu shots. It's our best prevention against the flu by far.
I got to tell you, a couple of years ago, I happened to be visiting a client in Kentucky, and it was flu shot day. Line up,
wow.
Everybody. So they came to the office, and,
God.
I thought that was terrific. Yeah, it was great.
That's awesome.
So,
I wish we could make that a national holiday. I would be a fan of that.
Hey, that might be something to add. We'll, from our lips to the government's ears, maybe we can make something happen here.
You never know. You never know. But, yeah, no, I think that your messages are perfect and spot on, and I really hope that people – one thing I should also add is a lot of folks are afraid of getting the flu shot. They're afraid that it'll make them sick. It's probably the most common myth that I hear from my patients as to why they don't get it. And the one thing I have to say is flu shots are indicated for people 6 months and older without with few exceptions, but the flu shot does not give you the flu. So for those of you who might be nervous about that, it doesn't actually give you the flu, and it's really important to visit your local pharmacy. Or you can go to RiteAid.com for more information. But getting that flu shot is very important.
Yeah, and make sure during the season, as you say, Dr. Cottle, to drink plenty of fluids, get lots of rest. And if you don't feel well, then go see your doctor, right?
Yes, that's exactly. And that's what we're here for. That's exactly what we're here for, is that if you do come down with an illness, any type of illness, a flu-like illness or other, this is what we're here for. But I also think that, you know, the prevention tips we've been talking about, giving people permission to stay home, take care of yourselves, really get yourself healthy, and avoid spread of illness to other people is also of utmost importance. But yes, do come see your doctor. We're here for you.
Your fellow employees will love you. Your neighbors will love you. Trust me. Dr. Jennifer Cottle, nationally renowned health expert, here with us on Bill Martinez Live. Dr. Cottle, as we wrap things up, where can they go for more information?
Absolutely. Well, so again, you can go to your local pharmacy for flu shot information, but for example, Rite Aid has a lot of options. You can go to RiteAid.com to learn more about the flu shot and also find out where you can get one.
Dr. Jennifer Cottle, I'm Bill Martinez Live, keeping us healthy this flu season with some great ideas and great tips. Now it's up to you to be proactive and make it happen and take care of yourself out there. Dr. Cottle, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE.
For professional staffing, there's only one name you need to know, Robert Half. Robert Half custom matches our candidates to your specific hiring requirements by combining personalized service from local staffing experts with an advanced matching technology based on 70 years of successful placements. For highly skilled accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, or administrative staffing, count on Robert Half. We'll find you productive, engaged employees. Learn more at roberthalf.com/radio.
Gold Bond salutes all you fixers out there. Fixers of wobbly chairs, squeaky stairs, and drippy faucets. Folks who can fix just about anything, except dry, cracked hands.
Whoa, that's bad. Man.
Say hello to Gold Bond Cracked Skin Cream. More than a lotion, it precisely fills, soothes, and protects rough, cracked fingers and knuckles. 91% said cracked skin felt smoother in one day.
Yep, feeling good.
Gold Bond Cracked Skin Cream. Find it at First Aid at Walgreens.
Message and data rates may apply. Please don't text while driving. If you've been in business more than 20 minutes, you've probably printed your logo on all kinds of promotional products. We all know logos work because they're on everything from the top of skyscrapers to the bottom of shoes. Ever wondered why or how to best use your logo to grow your business? Let us show you today for free. We're 4imprint, promotional product experts at your service. We're giving away the latest issue of Amplify, the digital magazine that reveals promotional product success stories absolutely free to everyone who texts UP77 to 88988. At 4imprint, we make your logo look perfect on thousands of promotional items. With our 100% guarantee, it'll be right the first time, on time, every time. Your free e-magazine will reveal invaluable insights that can attract new customers, build your brand, and grow your business. Get the latest issue of Amplify absolutely free by texting UP77 to 88988. That's UP77 to 88988.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
You're listening to Bill Martinez.
If you want to know how far love can go, just how deep, just how wide. If you want to see how much you mean to me, look at my head.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
If you want to know how
back with you just like that, the way you like us, fresh and independent. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Hey, we're going to talk famous food myths. And believe it or not, they've been tested in the lab. And they're all cited in a book called Did You Just Eat That? You know, some of the questions that might come to mind, you know, double dipping, you know, is that delicious or dangerous? Remember Seinfeld? They did a big deal on that, an episode on double dipping, which was hysterical. How about practicing the 5-second rule or never eat food off the floor? Is sharing a large popcorn a sign of friendship or a recipe for spreading germs? Well, these food myths and more have been lab tested by professors, no less, in the new book, Did You Just Eat That? And with us right now, food researchers Paul Dawson and Brian Sheldon. Paul and Brian, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Thank you, Bill. We're doing well.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, thank you so much for being here, Paul. Being since you identified yourself off the bat, let's talk to you first. Let me ask you, you explained to the readers why water is safer served without ice or a lemon wedge. Why is that?
Well, I don't know. That's true, I guess, to an extent. It really comes down to who's handling the ice. We use the analogy that if some bartender's there putting ice in your drink, and sometimes they'll use their bare hand or they'll squeeze a lemon or a lemon garnish. Depends on, you don't know whether they washed their hands or not or what they've touched before they do that. So I guess there's a little bit of risk with that and probably minor, but there is some chance that they haven't used good hand hygiene.
Exactly. You know, Brian, you also bring up in the book something that, you know, is like one of those V8 moments that I had. And oh, my goodness, why didn't I, you know, think about this before? But you're exactly right. And that is that, you know, after viewing a restaurant menu, you suggest, hey, sanitize your hands because you talk about a menu and how many people have handled it and maybe how many times that. And it's not like somebody takes the menu and wipes it clean, do they?
No, that's correct, and that's probably, in our estimation, because we don't know what's happening in every restaurant, but from our perception is that that's probably one thing that doesn't get cleaned very often, and it may get wiped down at the end of the day, perhaps not, though. Whereas they do a great job behind the scenes in the kitchen relative to, say, food handling practices, what happens to that menu. After all, you know, it's touched by all the consumers, it's touched by the waiters and waitresses and potentially other staff members. And it comes back to the same point that Paul raised relative to, well, what kind of hygiene was used, and those people that have that are responsible for washing it when they are washed and sanitized. And I guess you have to look at it this way, too, that us as consumers, we're contributors to that as well. It's not all just organisms that happen to be in the restaurant. We are contributing to that population of organisms, and some of them could be disease-causing. Fortunately, only about 1% of the known bacteria and viruses at this point in time are thought to cause disease for humans, whereas 99% mm-hmm. of them are either have no impact on us or may be a positive impact, such as in our gastrointestinal tract, or making good foods, fermented foods like yogurt and pickles mm-hmm. and things like that.
Right. Well, Paul, it makes me wonder, you know, when you're handed a menu, for example, I mean, in some restaurants, they're pretty well dog-eared. You know? So how many bugs are in the midst of those cracks and crevices of those worn-out, well-used menus?
Yeah, well, it also, I don't know if you've seen or not, you've probably seen children handling menus, licking menus, you know, so that's all kinds of scenarios that you don't know where the menu's been until before you've touched it. And, even if not of that nature, you just don't know where the hands have been before they're handled. And like Brian said, we clean tables and clean, utensils and things of that nature, but nearly menus aren't something that has a high profile of being clean.
Yeah, excellent point. What was the most surprising food myth that you discovered?
Well, in my case, Paul, I'm sure he has his top one on the top 10 list, but I was kind of interested in what happens in the restrooms when we've gone through the steps of hopefully washing our hands, rinsing, then washing with soap, and then rinsing again. And, of course, the final step of that whole process is how we're going to dry our hands. And is it paper or is it the air dryers that most restaurants have gone to? I guess more from a standpoint of cost and environmental aspects of it. You know, one less tree that has to be taken out in order to provide something to dry our hands on. And we've discovered that, and of course you have to then ask the question, what is going on in the bathroom to begin with? Obviously we're there to relieve ourselves, and every time that it happens, we flush the toilet or the urinal, and it's been well documented that when you flush a toilet or a urinal, that you are producing these bioaerosols, again, these very small droplets of moisture of water, and within those, they can easily carry bacteria and viruses, fecal matter, for that matter, and all that goes into, a lot of that will go in and be dispersed throughout the air for a period of time, and when you activate the hand dryer, that pulls in that air from the surrounding room into the incoming vent. And if you ever looked at those vents, which are out of sight from the humans, from the people in there, they're usually located on the bottom. They're not very well cleaned at times. So much like your refrigerator, do you ever get under and look under the air that comes in through those vents there, you'll see that it accumulates dust, dirt, and along with that will be bacteria. So when you activate that button, you're pulling air in there, and if there's bacteria on that inlet surface, it's going to be spread throughout the, basically coming out the outlet, and it could be dispersed throughout the restroom in addition to be onto your hands. So, and as we've adopted these more high velocity air hand dryers that, 300 plus miles per hour, it's been shown that they can spread it even even further. A study done showing that they can spread at least 6 feet away from the hand dryer. And so, again, I was kind of struck by the numbers of the population of organisms that can be dispersed by just simply trying to dry your hands.
And thinking you're doing the right thing, right?
Yeah, you're trying to do the right things, but you end up getting what somebody else has on their hands or what has happened in the toilet and possibly, you know, fecal matter or fecal organisms, associated organisms, onto your hands again.
Mm. So, Paul, how about for you? What was most surprising?
I think it was the double dipping. Thinking it from the surface area standpoint, you've got a cracker or a chip. There's really a narrow surface area there that was left, and I thought there wouldn't be detectable bacteria there, but we were surprised to find there was significant transfer, you know, up to 1,000 organisms and more when you bit a chip versus when you didn't, or a cracker when you didn't. And then along with that, we tested salsa, chocolate, and cheese, and found the salsa actually had a lot more transfer than the other two. And yeah, at first it wasn't obvious, and then it kind of was. We felt kind of stupid to kick ourselves in the foot. That salsa is much thinner, and actually when you dip it in there, more is going to fall back into the bowl that's carrying bacteria, whereas the chocolate and the cheese hang on better. So I guess if you could develop a chip that, or a dip that didn't drip at all, you'd be safe.
Yeah, you'd be safer anyway. How about sharing popcorn, Brian? What did you find out with that?
As we've said in all these other ones, basically you are sharing whatever that's on, let's just say, the seat that you're sitting on, the armrest where you place your hand, if you went to the restroom prior to that, and the handle, the faucets, just your general hygiene yourself, you're sharing whatever you have with the person who's you're sharing the popcorn with. Every time you dip your hand into that popcorn bag and you put it in your mouth, along with your hands, you're putting oral bacteria in your mouth, and you're putting it back into that bag. And if you have a large bag of popcorn, you may dip in there, you know, 20, 30 times. And every time you're dipping in there, you're increasing the population. And so, again, it comes down to what organisms are on you, what are you putting back into that bag, and hopefully we can say that most of them are the good ones, or at least the neutral ones that don't impact us. But unfortunately, during this time of the year where the flu is prevalent and people with colds, I think it's a greater opportunity actually to spread viruses and from person to person as a result of sharing popcorn, or for that matter other types of foods, communal type of things like rice and soups and things like that.
Yeah. Well, the book itself, Did You Just Eat That?, available at all the usual places. We're going to link it on our website. And our thanks to food researchers Paul Dawson and Brian Sheldon for doing all the hard work. And I'll tell you, it may have you change how you share your popcorn these days. Just, you know, that amongst other things. And the 5-second rule, that is a myth. I mean, call it out for what it is. Right, guys?
Exactly.
Well, Paul and Brian, go ahead.
The take-home point, we don't always get sick, so that's the good point there. Even when we engage in certain activities that are questionable, that it's on a rare basis that we're getting sick. But then again, the probability, the risk is always there.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, Paul and Brian, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay
Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice. And it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com. Or call us, 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99 and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
Bacon.